We've got a wonderful topic this morning that Simon left us. Prayer changes things, and I think we've already heard a number of amazing stories this morning in that testimony time. Because as Heather alluded to, we've got this incredible global wave of prayer going on all over our world. Millions and millions of Christians in closed nations, they'll be praying in the quiet, in the closed, behind closed doors. In others, they'll be in parks and open spaces, in works, communities, all over. And in England alone, we've got 63 cathedrals that are opening their doors, mostly next weekend and some this weekend, to invite God's people to come in, because we're praying for people to come to know Jesus. We're going to be praying for God to renew us, for the transformation about ourselves and our world. We're praying for God's kingdom to come. And when we use that phrase taken from that prayer that Jesus left us, the Lord's Prayer, I wonder what it conjures up for us this morning. As Christians, we've been taken from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light when we responded to the invitation to the risen Jesus to follow him. So when we pray, "Thy kingdom, your kingdom come," we're inviting the kingdom of heaven into our lives, our families, our friends, our situations. To pray, "Thy kingdom come," we're asking God the Father by his Spirit to come into every area of society so that the light of Christ shines in us and through us. Because his light will dispel the darkness and all the evil that it represents. So when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we're praying for God's goodness, his truth, his love, his hope, his wisdom, his justice, his peace, and there's more, to come. All of which the kingdom of darkness despises and hates. I've got the privilege of having a national job working out of Birmingham with the World Prayer Centre. We link right across this family of nations and globally all over the world. And towards the end of last year, we had this growing sense of the significance of 2017, but that it would be a year of the extraordinary good and the extraordinary bad, and the extraordinary unusual, local, nationally, and globally. And my goodness, how true that is turning out to be within our own nations and around the world. Shifts and shocks are taking place on a daily basis. And as we've already prayed for all affected by what happened with that bomb in Manchester earlier this week, we are still reeling from that and trying to get our heads around all that's happening. Here, what's happening in Egypt, and many, many thousands of people are praying for his kingdom to come. I'd like to have the video now, if that's possible. Each day of thy kingdom come, a global leader has been asked to send a word of encouragement for us to pray. And this is a brilliant one from a leader in America who uses the phrase, "Prayer changes things," a number of times. I was very encouraged.
God came among us in the person of Jesus of Nazareth to change the world. Jesus came to show us the way, to change the world from the nightmare it often is into the dream and the vision that God intends. The Archbishop of Canterbury has invited us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Prayer actually does change things. We may not always know how. We may not always know the details. We may not always see the end result or the end product. But prayer changes things, because prayer brings God into our conscious focus. And in some mysterious and wonderful way, prayer alters the chemistry of the moment, changes the equation of history and life, sometimes in ways that we can see, and sometimes in ways that we can't. Prayer changes things. When the cries of the lonely, when the cries of the oppressed, when the cries of those who are sick, when the cries of those who suffer, when the thanksgivings of God people, when a child is born, when thanksgiving is uttered, when something wonderful happens, when we pray for peace on earth, when we pray for a way through, when we can't find a way through, in those moments, there is silence in heaven because God is listening. And if God is listening, that changes the equation of the moment. Prayer changes things. The Archbishop has invited us to pray, to follow in the way of Jesus, the Jesus who prayed the great prayer of John 17, that they all might be one as he and the Father were one, the Jesus who taught us to pray our Father who art in heaven, the Jesus who prayed on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, prayer changes things. So if you want things to stay the same, don't bother to pray. But if you want to change and you want the world to change, pray. God came among us in the person of Jesus to show us the way to change the world and to be changed. God bless you. God keep you. And pray.
So my question to us this morning, what do we need to see changed? What are the burdens we're carrying into which we long to see a release of God's kingly rule, a shift, a breakthrough? Maybe health, relationships, finance, whatever. I know from my own experience that our Father in heaven is longing to bring his presence into my life, into our lives afresh, to meet us where we're at, bringing his kingdom love and rule to bear into each situation. Because I do believe that prayer changes things. But I also would add, it's also true that prayer changes me before it changes things. So many times in my life when I've been praying for things, I've noticed that actually God's done an amazing work in me as well as changing the whole situation. So there's a prayer changes things, but also prayer changes us. And I recognize that many of us, and I for one, don't find prayer easy. Archbishop Justin writes in one of the amazing resources, this is a great resource, you can download it on the website, Conversations in Between, based on an artist in Canterbury for each of the days through. And he writes in this, some days I find that prayer comes easily. On others, it's a struggle. But I'm always mindful that prayer, the act of meeting with God in conversation, silence, longing, is not just another thing we do, it's the breath that sustains us, the thing that God calls us to do before we think or do anything else. So prayer is about relationship and encounter, but I believe it's also the key to God's heart so we can line up with his perspective of how he's viewing things. It's a powerful weapon in the spiritual battle we are constantly facing. God is inviting us to work in partnership to bring in his kingdom with our prayer and action. There's different ways to pray. A groan is a prayer. A tear is a prayer. A sigh is a prayer. A song is a prayer. Prayer is simply inviting God to be God in whatever situation we're facing. I love the model of International Justice Mission, a global organization set up many years ago by a Christian lawyer who, when he was feeling so burnt out from all the doing and the action, God said, "Will you give me the first half hour of your working day, in which I want you to come and draw strength from my presence, get my perspective, before you go out to bring freedom to people who are being trafficked around the world?" And that's what they have in their job descriptions of IGM. They are all coming in, whatever their offices are all over the world, they come into that place and they dedicate that first half hour to seeking the presence to get his resources for the day ahead. And as we heard from our reading in Acts, the disciples and the early followers of Jesus were confronted with navigating through a huge shift in their worldview. And I just want to look into that passage now and draw out what I believe is a very important template for us, not only at COGS, but for the church across our nation at this time. We can be so busy in our doing that we forget sometimes that there's an order in how God wants us to work with him to see his kingdom come. Now, the whole recap of what's been happening, we've had Jesus who has raised from the dead, which we celebrated on Easter Day. And for the next 40 days, his disciples, who deserted him and betrayed him, he reinstated them. He breathed his Holy Spirit on them. And then he kept turning up over 40 days on beaches, having meals, teaching them about the kingdom of God. And he left them with the three commands we heard this morning. Wait for the Holy Spirit, the gift. Do not leave Jerusalem. and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. My goodness. And then if it couldn't get any more amazing, Jesus ascends to heaven before their eyes. And just as they're gazing, it gets even more amazing when angels turn up and tell them not to waste time, but to return to Jerusalem. Another game-changing shift in God's plan of rescuing his people. I wonder what we'd have done in those circumstances. Well, we learn that they did what Jesus asked them to do. They left that place of intimacy and experience, the Mount of Olives. They didn't stay on the mountain. They returned to Jerusalem, the city of failure, the city of fear. Ordinary men and women wanting to do what Jesus had told them to do. They hadn't a clue what it meant. They had no roadmap. They were prepared to follow because they trusted him. And I think of so many stories around our nation of people who have obeyed what Jesus has asked them to do. I think of those friends of mine in Stoke-on-Trent when it was declared the worst place to live in Britain around 2000, 2001, as they themselves says that that's the best bit of bad news we had. Because it drew the churches together, it drew the leaders together. The Holy Spirit, as they followed the leading of the Holy Spirit, over a 7-year period, he mended relationships, he renewed churches, he built trust with all the different sectors of society. And it's amazing. So today, in 2014, they were voted the third best city to raise a family. Because God had started to bring in his kingdom as his people responded. So they did what Jesus do. And then the next thing, obvious in what we're doing about today, they prayed together. They didn't plan a protest, organize a campaign. They actually got together and prayed. And I think that togetherness, the power in unity, is so important. Jesus prayed for our unity. It was referred to there in John 17. And I think really so much in the UK church, we're only just beginning to understand what unity, what synergy really means. Because when we stand together, synergy being the combined power of a group when we're working together, that is far greater than individuals all doing their own thing. I wonder what would have happened if they'd gone their separate ways. And why did they pray? I think they'd been with Jesus. They'd seen him pray. They'd witnessed incredible answers to things. They knew that prayer changes things. That I'm sure they knew that prayer changes them as well. How did they pray? We have no clue. But my guess, it was passionate, heartfelt prayer, earthly prayer, grounded in worship to God who'd raised Jesus from the dead. Luke says at the end of his gospel that they returned all together with Jerusalem with great joy. Maybe included lots of times of, do you remember when he said that? What did you think when that healing happened? Maybe they were asking, what on earth does it mean to be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, and the ends of the earth? It's so evident when we read of what flows out through the whole Acts of the Apostles and the rest of the New Testament. Basically, they had their own private prayer school in these 10 days. So they came out equipped, positioned and strengthened. They'd learnt that prayers based on the sovereignty of Jesus, the perfectness of God and the truth of his world releases power and nullifies the works of the kingdom of darkness. And we are so grateful for all those in this church and other churches across Whitney who are standing praying for our community. For all who will be taking part in Thy Kingdom Come. Those who are on our guard around our cities and coastlands who are praying for every area of the life of our city to be protected. Yes, it was so terrible that what happened in Manchester. But we are also praising the Lord for all the other terrorist plots that have been uncovered in these recent years as we've cried out for God's protection and God's mercy. There are signs of the kingdom breaking out across this family of nations. Just reading something from a leader in Wales, he says, I'm witnessing an increase in a level of confidence in gospel proclamation and the frequency of people coming to faith in many parts of Wales. It's coming across denominational and network boundaries. In South Wales recently, I preach at a service where a quarter of the congregation have been converted from a life of drug dependency. When we listen, when we follow, when we pray, we see God's kingdom breaking in more and more. Further on in this chapter of Acts, we didn't have time to read, but I just want to mention it. They actually followed God's reordering. They, in this set apart time, they realized that God was asking them to replace Judas, the disciple who had betrayed Jesus. Because God had something to put in order in his perfect master plan before the outpouring of the Spirit. And certainly across our nation at the moment, there's so much reordering going on. God is shaking structures in the church, and he's releasing this army of ordinary boys, girls, men and women to go out with his love in action and deed. And it's just absolutely incredible. I just think of the last prayer. We have a monthly prayer meeting here at COGS, and the last one we had, I said, well, let's just share some answers to prayer. 25 minutes later, and there were only about 17 of us, we had stopped sharing the answers to prayer of that we had seen God at work. Amazing healings, amazing breakthroughs, people wanting to find out, wanting to come on Alpha. And then we'd spent the next half hour thanking the Lord and praying out from that place. He's on the move because we are responding to what he's saying. And then lastly in this passage, I noticed they waited 10 days. God's into waiting. Had you noticed? I'm struck that as you read story after story in the Bible, God doesn't do things in the timing of us. His ways are different. His thoughts are different. And when I want things immediately, he might take the next 20 years to bring that. But he's waiting. I wonder what would have happened if they'd gone off fishing. But they didn't go off fishing. They actually all returned and they went together. And they went. And 10 days is quite a long time. Quite a long time. And I don't think many of us find waiting easy. I know I don't. But it's in the waiting that God works in the deepest ways. When we've got no resources, whether financial, physical or mental, we have to wait. Waiting for God for his timing. Waiting on God for his instruction. And waiting with God, with his presence, when that surrounds us in the darkest moments of our lives. I see that through these 10 days, our Father was positioning a bunch of men and women, asking them to lay aside their plans, seek his face and prepare the way for the next great shift to occur. The release from heaven of the Holy Spirit to be accessible to people of all ages, backgrounds, cultures, colours and creeds. They received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit because they'd been prepared. They were the right people in the right place for the right time. God's time. I just think of one person. I had a conversation with at back of church last Sunday after at the 9:15, having our coffee and cake after the baptism service. She just came up and just shared major family breakthrough after years and years and years of waiting and praying. And we rejoiced together that she'd begun to see a shift. And I believe that we have a lot to learn from what the early disciples went through today. Because here at COGS, isn't it so exciting to see the answers to prayer? I've only been here, just remembering that as I prepared, about 9 years. We have an army of people right across the family of COGS that is standing on guard praying for God's kingdom to come. And we are seeing the signs of the kingdom breaking in. And we are in a time of change and a time of shift as God enlarges our family. We're needing to find new pathways to communicate, develop the church centre to welcome new people, seek new ways of doing life together and find new ways to reach out with his love, working with other churches in Whitney and beyond. And we continue to pray for more of his kingdom to come. So let's learn and reflect on this little story that we read this morning and become a family who are more and more willing to obey what the Lord is asking of us, either individually, as families, as connect groups, or corporately. Willing to seek what's on your heart, Father, and take time to pray being very honest and open with our questions and our doubts for our life, our mission, our community, and wherever else the Lord takes us in our praying, and to become more and more flexible when he wants to change our planning and be bold enough to wait on God for his timing. It is amazing at the moment. I'm seeing lots and lots of churches, hearing stories, and they're all saying the same thing, Jane. When we start praying, God turns up and disrupts all our plans. Because he's wanting all of us as individuals to line up. So I began by asking the question, what do we need to see changed? And I leave you with another. Are you, am I willing to invite God into that situation and seek his face in the place of prayer, alone or with others, to see the shift? As we heard very powerfully this morning, if we want to see change, let's pray. If we don't want to see change, don't pray. And as I was reflecting and praying about this, I just felt the strong impression that our Father is saying to each one of us here today, make room for me. Make room for me. Make room for me. Because I've got so much more I want to give you, that I can fill you afresh with my Holy Spirit, and that I can give you the strength and the confidence to keep on keeping on. So in this week, when we've got, amazingly, we've got the congregational church is open all week with creative prayer stations. It's going to be open 24/7. Seven or eight churches have provided really powerful prayer stations. Maybe you want to take some time to just head over there to spend some time. Head over and take some time with God wherever you are this week. Pour your favorite cup of coffee. Sit in your favorite chair and do some listening and talking to the God who is longing to draw closer and closer to us as individuals, as well as to us as a church. Because then we'll be sharing the stories in the coming weeks, when more and more of us will be standing up sharing the stories of how, oh my goodness, he changed me. And oh my goodness, by partnering with him, I've seen things changed. And maybe for any of us here this morning, still on our journeyings with God, maybe sometime this week to ask, well, if you're there, God, why don't you show yourself to me? Because he'll answer that prayer and give us all more revelation in our journey towards finding him. Because if we make room for him, he comes in his love and he heals and he mends us. And as broken people, mended and filled with his Holy Spirit, we can then offer his love in our needy world through our prayer and action. Anything is possible for God, for whom nothing is impossible. And prayer changes things. Could I have that slide up, do you think? This is just an image of the Japanese art of repairing broken pottery with lacquer and gold. Either gold or silver or platinum. When it's shattered, they think, how beautiful! It can be remolded and fashioned into something beautiful. And we're all broken vessels, and God, in our shatteringness, he mends us and pours the gold of his Holy Spirit through us so that we are able to hold him and share him to others that we meet. Let's just keep that on the screen. Let's just have a moment to just, what maybe is the one thing the Holy Spirit has been prompting us, nudging us in this service this morning. Let's just spend a moment listening, tuning in afresh, listening for the Father's love whisper to us in our situation. Often we don't know what to pray. And Paul writes in his letter, that amazing verses, that the Spirit helps us in our weakness when we don't know what to pray. Because he prays for us. So Father, as we reflect on That amazing journey of your early followers. Our prayer is that, Lord, you will help us make room for you. And Lord, I know that that's going to be different for each one of us. But we pray today that by your Holy Spirit, you will give us the confidence and the strength to pick up the telephone of prayer and to invite you afresh into the situations that we're burdened with at the moment. Father, we thank you that we're part of your family here. So we pray that you will help us together become more and more a family who is open, willing, and flexible to be led by your Holy Spirit. We give ourselves to you afresh this morning, praying for your kingdom to come and your will to be done in our lives here, in our community, across our nation, and across our world. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.